here are pieces for wordless chorus. Did he ever talk about why he decided not to use words for this, per se?
No, I really don't know why he did it this way. It was very funny, you know, during the rehearsals, the early rehearsals, Roger Wagner was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard the first piece in which the tessitura of the sopranos is so very high, you know, intentionally, so that it would sound anguished, mm-hmm. you know, he said, well, I think we should do the Requiem too for the sopranos who have died by singing this piece.
Mm-hmm. You know. But obviously Eric had an expressive purpose in mind.
Yes.
This anguish. And then how do the moods progress through the rest of the choruses? Do they finally not move to a feeling of jubilation?
Yeah. I think that is almost typical of Eric's pieces. Mm-hmm. I think he had this feeling of it always ends triumphantly. Now, whether this was wishful thinking or if he had a feeling that he would eventually uh-huh. triumph, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let us hope that the latter is true.
And then again, was it through the kind offices of Leslie Jacobs that the piece was, the set of four was picked up by J. Fisher and Brothers?
Brothers,
and
yeah.
Published.
And they printed it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the same year...
But probably because it is not the, what you call, grateful for the sopranos,
mm-hmm.
which it's difficult
right.
to sing, and has enormous... enormous demands on the voices, you know?
Yes.
So this, I think, was an obstacle in the piece becoming very popular. It was performed by several university chorus. Among mm-hmm. them was in South Carolina,
uh-huh.
and performed it in a few others.
Yes, it might be pointed out that this is a piece specifically for women's chorus.
Yes.
And one doesn't
yeah.
find a large number of pieces for that medium.
No.
In the same year, 1948, the suite version of Ulysses was premiered in Chicago. We recall that Eric had written originally for five instruments, and now he writes for a larger orchestra. Were you able to attend the premiere, or?
No, we went up there, but it was broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, the conductor was Henry Weber.
Uh-huh.
And he sent us a record of the performance.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was broadcast, he found it necessary to cut.
Oh, I see.
You know, make cuts in the piece, which I think are not too good for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fine performance.
I see. Well, maybe...
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah.
For
I saw that Henry Weber had also done another piece, but I think I'm
mm-hmm.
mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I saw he had also done in November, but I couldn't be sure about it.
Perhaps it's appropriate at this point to talk just a little bit about some of the conductors who did perform Eric's work. We've seen that it took a tremendous amount of effort, and a great deal of frustration went into these reams of letters that you wrote literally over a period of years, but there were some successes, and perhaps you could mention some of these people who...
Yes, well, there was Kurt Herbert Adler, who whenever he had the opportunity would perform
mm-hmm.
Some of Eric's pieces. He did... pieces of the Little Symphony here too, and he did the String Suite and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Harold Burns, as I
yeah.
told you, who premiered this woman's choruses. And already in New York, we had met a that time very young conductor. He was 23 years old. That was John Burnett.
Oh, yes.
And who mm-hmm. was then here with Wallenstein, the assistant conductor.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very gifted and I think very charming person.
Mm-hmm.
And became a very good friend. And whenever he had an opportunity, he did works of Eric. Also, he did some work of Eric on the Standard Hour, too.
Oh, yeah.
When he was for a while conductor with the Phoenix Orchestra, and he did mm-hmm. works by Eric there.